Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
At last, an honest text. Right, I'm going to read this out. The people on your show, Niall, tonight are lying through their teeth. Okay. The exhaustion levels when kids are young doesn't give you a chance to fully enjoy them. And by the time you get any form of normality for yourself, they've almost flown the nest. At that stage, the vast majority of them are selfish and only think of themselves. You as a parent are now an afterthought on the scale you will never imagine. It's a monumental mistake having kids. And with the exception of the initial phase, I would never, ever do it again. And I wouldn't do it in the first place if I could do it again. You're blessed if you get a good, if you get good, considerate kids into your old age. And see, that was honest. Not everybody's experience, but it's honest, isn't it? Now, we have been chatting about religion quite a lot in the last week, obviously because the Pope died. And it's clear from the messages coming in that many of you don't actually believe in God. Some of you do, many of you don't. Which kind of got us thinking, then we must have changed our view on what happens after you die. So if there's no God, what happens after you die? If you don't believe in God, do you believe that that's it? Into the muck you go, rot away, worms, all that kind of stuff, and just nothing happens. Or maybe you do believe in a God. Maybe you believe you go to heaven or hell if you've been bold. AJ, are you going to heaven or hell? Have you been bold? Oh, you're going to heaven, are you? Okay, because hell doesn't sound like such a bad place to be honest with you. A lot of crack down there. Rock concerts, AC/DC, all that. You know that song by AC/DC? Hell ain't a bad place to be. Anyway, or maybe you believe in the afterlife. Maybe you believe you're reborn, reincarnated, come back as a dog or a pussycat or something else, a bicycle. Now that's an inanimate object. You can't come back as an inanimate object. It'd have to be something sentient. So, whether it's based on faith, science, or just a gut feeling, we'd like to get your thoughts. What happens when you die? Boom, into the ground. Or burnt, whichever it is. Let me know. I know it's a bit morbid, but however, let's not think of it as a morbid point of view. Let's be a little bit scientific about this and factual. The number's 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Elizabeth, hi.
Hello.
Now, Elizabeth, it says on my screen you're currently in Rome.
Yes, I am.
Oh, did you go over for the Pope's funeral?
No, I actually came out for a pilgrimage on Monday.
Oh, okay.
And we got the news as we landed in Rome that the Pope was after dying.
So are you going to the funeral now?
We were actually at his wake this evening. We're just back at our hotel afterwards.
Oh, okay. Because I believe they had to keep it open a lot longer than they expected to because so many people wanted to go.
There were a lot of people. It was a very, very long queue there.
Yeah, he was quite popular, in fairness. You know, even amongst those who didn't really believe in Catholicism, he just seemed like a nice guy.
Sorry,
I'm just saying, even amongst those who wouldn't be believers, he just seemed like a good guy. So I think that's why he was so popular.
I'm sure there probably were some people there. I'd say most. There are probably a fair few Catholics.
Yeah.
Probably a fair few Christians. Maybe some people just thought he was a nice guy and wanted to pay their respect. I can't pretend to speak for the crowd. We went as Catholics because he's the leader of the Catholic Church. And good to pay our respect to him, but can't pretend to speak for the rest of the crowd.
So, obviously, you believe in God. What happens, do you think? What do you think happens when you die? Or do you have any expectation of what happens when you die?
Well, I expect I'll have God will look at my soul and then he'll decide whether I'm worthy to go to heaven or purgatory or hell. It's like I don't know what's going to happen when I die. I do my best to live a good life. Follow the commandments, be good, kind, patient, gentle, loving, all of those things. Live my life the best I can. And then after that, when I die, whatever I've done anything wrong, I suppose.
You can repent.
Anything wrong I haven't made up for. Yeah, you know, it could be purgatory, then through hell. I don't know where I'll end up. I hope to go to heaven, of course.
And do you have an expectation in your own mind? Do you have an expectation in your mind of what heaven, like my expectation of what heaven would be based on textbook, I suppose, when I was a child and learned religion in school, would be this kind of fancy place where there's angels flying around with wings and everybody's wearing white robes and there's pearly gates and clouds and just a nice warm place or something. I don't know. That's kind of the expectation. Is that the kind of vision you have in your head?
I actually can't picture stuff in my head. It's a condition called aphantasia. So I can't reproduce any images in my head.
Oh, that's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that condition before. That's audiobooks out the window.
It's not a fully recognized thing. So I was quite shocked last year to learn that some people think in pictures because I think in full sentences and words.
I'm kind of a bit like that. I'm probably a bit like that because I don't read books. Because the reason I don't read books is I can't imagine. Some people would say they read books and they can picture the whole scene, yada, yada, yada. It's better than a movie. And for me, I have to watch the movie. I can't read a book because it just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I read an awful lot, but I just can't picture stuff in my head. So
yeah,
I don't have any picture of what heaven's like. And even if I did, I probably wouldn't try to imagine it. I know you're in the eternal embrace of God, and I don't think any words can describe that.
But here's the thing. We don't have any proof. Like, nobody's ever come back and told us. You know what I mean? So obviously we don't have any proof it exists. There's as much proof that it doesn't exist that it does exist, if you know what I mean. For many people out there, Elizabeth, they just think, well, that's it, game over, lights go off, and nothing happens.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, there have been certain things, like, the Marian, obviously as a Catholic, I believe in the Marian apparitions, and Fatima went into detail of stuff like that. But the thing is, like, if we only did what was easy in life, it would make things far too easy for us. The whole point, nothing that's worth doing in life comes easy. There's a quote that St. Paul makes in the Romans. Give me one second. I'm just trying to write it here because I know I wrote it down on my phone.
Okay.
He has a quote about hope. And basically he says that people, like, what is, it's just, sorry, give me one second. It's
no, that's okay. Take your time and find it. I'm looking at some of the text just while you're looking for that. So the text coming in. Somebody says, Niall, it's as easy to believe in heaven as believe in nothing. And somebody else says, Niall, how could there be nothing? That doesn't even make sense. To me, I can't imagine nothing. Well, I did say earlier on before the break, there was nothing before you were born. You can remember, you don't remember anything before you were born, so it's quite easy to imagine nothing, I suppose. Sorry, go ahead, Elizabeth. So
this is the quote. Sorry, this is a quote about hope. This is from Romans chapter 8, it's verses 24-25, for anyone who wants to fact check this for me. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with patience. Like, if you can see something, you don't need to hope for it.
Of course, because it's there. Yeah. I get that. No, I do understand that. And I suppose it's hard to imagine any other purpose for life. If we believe that we go to heaven, well, then we must believe that we were put here for a reason. So what do you think the reason for life is? What's the reason that we're here for 80 years or whatever it is?
Oh, I'm an optician. I'm not God. I can't
an optician.
Pretend to know.
But then that was your purpose, wasn't it? Your purpose was to help other people see properly.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I can't pretend to. But I mean, is it any more logical to believe that the entire being of creation, that every single molecule, every single chemical interaction, every single law of physics, every part of biology, every plant interaction, the chemical interactions between trees, the formation of rocks over time, the theories of evolution, is any more logical to believe that that just happened and magically organized itself?
I know.
That people say God doesn't exist. So what their alternative solution is that just nothing spontaneously decided to become something.
everything just kind of evolved happened. Over time. Is that and that yeah. equally is as difficult to believe sometimes.
If you go to chemistry, no chemistry reaction happens without someone or something putting the chemicals together.
Hmm.
So if we're to believe that the Earth is an evolution of a reaction from a Big Bang, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're to believe that those chemicals and those particles coexisted forever.
But didn't the Pope...
Out of nowhere decided like, wait, let's do something.
But didn't Pope Francis himself... Francis turn around himself and say only a few years ago that, you know, the Vatican accepts that there was the Big Bang? Now, that doesn't mean that he's denying the existence of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As Catholics, we believe that God was the cause of the Big Bang.
Oh, okay. So it did happen, but God was the cause of it. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's the official Catholic doctrine that the Big Bang, what people who don't believe in God call the Big Bang, we call creation.
Yeah.
So, we don't deny it.
Mm.
Just people who say that Big Bang happened spontaneously out of nowhere of its own accord and by its own decision by itself,
yeah.
we say is basically impossible because you need a catalyst for a reaction.
Of course, the Catholics believe that God created the Big Bang and God made the Earth in 7 days. Or the universe in 7 days. Mind you, it's an awful shame he isn't responsible for the children's hospital because that's been going on for 7 years. So, Elizabeth, thank you. I know you can't stay because you're in Rome at the moment. Look, enjoy your trip. And I know it probably won't be enjoyable if you're going to the funeral, but you've been to the wake already. But enjoy your trip while you're over there in your pilgrimage. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks. Appreciate you coming on. There you go. Elizabeth believes in heaven. Traditional view, I suppose. Textbook view of heaven. Frank, hi, how are you?
I'm well there, Noel. I'm keeping well.
Yeah. Frank,
how are you yourself? Oh, you sound better anyway since the last time I heard.
Yeah, I'm getting there. A bit better every day. A little bit, you know, small improvements. And then some days I fall back a bit, but I'm okay. But anyway, Frank, getting back to, you know, what happens after you pop your clog. What happens? What do you think happens?
Well, I'm like yourself, Noel. I think when you leave this coil, you're gone. Nothing happens. I don't believe there's an afterlife. I think you are born, you live, and you pass away.
Mm.
I don't think there's a heaven afterwards because I know there's a lot of people who are in a very Christian country and stuff like that, but I'm caught between two worlds with the whole thing, if there is an afterlife or not, because my logical side of my brain would say that there isn't, because... as you said yourself, I haven't met anybody who has...
come back to tell you about it.
who's died and then raised, came back 3 days later and said there is an afterlife.
Yeah, it's great crack up there. Yeah.
There isn't one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't believe in there is because, you know, look around and you see, okay, you see so many horror stories, you know, you're hearing of poor children passing away at a very young age and you're saying to yourself, why is there, if there's a God, why are you allowing children pass away from, say, for argument's sake, cancer or Alzheimer's, people of a certain age, you know, like family members of mine who passed away from Alzheimer's or, you know, stuff like that. They just disappear. The body's there, but the individual is no longer there.
Mm.
You're kind of saying to yourself, there, if there's a God, then why does he allow this to happen?
Free will, they say, isn't that what the Christians say?
You have some people then, right?
Christians will call that, you know, free will, that unfortunately some people just succumb to hereditary diseases or genetic diseases. And that's unfortunately just life.
Yeah, I know, but it's not, but I to say that, yeah, I know that, but the thing is...
That's like saying, why do Apple sell faulty phones? You know, unfortunately, they don't, but sometimes there will be a faulty phone and there's nothing really they can do about it.
Yeah, about it. Yeah, well, the thing about it is that, you know, you're saying to yourself, you know, say it's one person would say that, you know, if you're kind of looking at the other way of looking at it, that parents, okay, God would say that God made, we're all in God's image, that we're made in his image, that we're, you know, God would be like your parent, okay?
Mm.
And your parents are supposed to guide you and lead you down, you know, the straight and narrow and look after and tell you, advise you and stuff like that. And your parents is supposed to be the one who's trying to do everything and anything and try to do their best for you. In the same sense that, you know, why would a parent if they could help
guide you in the wrong direction. Yeah.
Yeah, down the wrong path.
But is that not again what Christians will say, that God gives you free will to make those choices in life yourself?
In one sense, you're looking at, you know, God gave you free will, but at the same time, he gave you the Ten Commandments.
He might have gave you the Ten. I'm only taking the Christian point of view of this. He might have gave you the Ten Commandments, but there's nobody demands that you must obey them. If you choose not to obey them, well, that's your choice, but you have to obviously pay the consequences.
The whole thing about it is, with any religion, is that God, as you said, God gave man free will, but at the same time, this is what I want you to, how to live your life. This is how you cannot live your life. You have to, in this. This is how I want you to live. And if you don't live this way, the way I'm telling you how to live your life, then you cannot come to heaven.
Oh, but see, Frank, you're kind of giving me a million reasons why I should or shouldn't believe in God, but you still haven't nailed down your view. So, Frank, I don't. I hope you don't pop your clogs very soon. But when you do pop your clogs, are you going into a box? Into the ground, and that's...
No, I'm getting cremated.
Okay, well, that's fine. Okay, so
going up in smoke.
So we cremate you. And then is that it? Is it just the lights go off?
That's it, yeah.
No more.
No, that's it. No more. You go, you're dead.
No,
you're,
I know.
You're
that's,
brown bread.
It's kind of hard to fathom that, isn't it?
Not really, no. Because, as I said, I haven't heard anybody that has come back to say there is or isn't. I don't believe there is heaven, you know, when you pass away. It's like, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, whatever, you were told you go to purgatory. Okay?
Remember that, yeah.
In purgatory, and you were told that, you know, so you went to purgatory, and then you were in purgatory until the end of time, until God...
Yeah, purgatory was like when you're out on bail, really, isn't
yeah,
it?
Bail. Yeah, well, the thing about it is that I would say, if you're looking at it really, another way of looking at it is that purgatory, to me, will probably... If you were really looking into it, probably a worse place than hell, because you don't know where you're going.
So you're not even spiritual in a sense that you might believe, not per se in the kind of textbook God, but there might be some sort of spiritual higher power.
Not really, no.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, so,
because at the end, as I said, at the end of the day, you know, it might be. See, the thing about it is, nobody knows really. So the thing about it is,
nobody knows, of course, yeah.
Well, nobody knows, but the thing about it is, I've known people who would have been atheists or wouldn't have had a belief in God, and then they fought, you know, God, you know, they got sick or they got unwell,
and all of a sudden they're hedging their bets, yeah.
And they markedly found Jesus.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I can understand how that can happen so easily to people. With the text, maybe we should all believe in God or something higher. I've often wondered why we as humans were born with feelings. Imagine if we went through life without feelings, then it might be easier to believe that there's nothing else once the lights go out. However, it can be comforting to believe in something all the same. Now, let me go to Nora. Yeah. Say there, Frank. Nora, hi. Yeah.
Hey, good evening. How are you, Niall?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm just listening there to that very interesting conversation. And I do believe that, I'm in the belief that I want to believe that there's a God there, because I'm a coward, actually. I think I'm a coward. But when I look at nature, I am, actually. And when I
well,
look
a, bit,
at
a lot
nature,
of people do believe in God out of fear. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe to a degree, I think it could be right. But then when I look at nature and I see all nature more so than anything else, I said there has to be a God there. Mm. There has to be something more powerful than human beings.
Why does there have to be? See, that this is, I mean, I understand the logic of people thinking there might be, but why does there have to be? Explain why there has to be.
Because it's, I mean, how can you, I mean, for me, to explain the reoccurrence of all the different seasons and the beautiful reoccurrence
of science
the
will give you explanations for all of that if you really wanted it.
Well, that's very true, but but even in the creation of life, you know, that science, even in the creation of humans, I don't know, we know what it's all about, but deep down, like, the creation of life is the time of conception. And
it's amazing. Nature is just amazing. Yes.
It's a miracle in many ways.
Do you know what I was watching a documentary, and it was about the human eye, okay?
Yes.
And how complex and complicated it is, right? And so they did this experiment. Not an experiment as such. But they threw a ball to this man. And he reached up and he caught it. Okay? Mm. And they said you could add a million computers together in the world and none of them would have the capability of doing that. Because your eyes have to see in three dimension, measure the speed of the ball, know exactly when to start raising your hand, and then when it touches your hand to grab it. Okay? So all of those calculations, like that's nature at its best to do something like that. It's just astonishing.
Absolutely. To give all those, you know, the control of the mind to get your hand to move, your eye to move, your senses. But coming back to afterlife then, I used to always, as a child, believe there was a heaven, and that's an innocence. Until my mother passed away, who was a wonderful mother, reared a huge family. And I, you know, like all mothers, most mothers devote their whole lives to us. And I was in the belief, I was so strong in the belief that she would come back and say to me, you know, darling, there is a heaven here. And that has never happened.
No.
So never happened in a dream, in nothing. And I often see, you know, when they say a feather falls, or it's a feather, that's an angel.
People see feathers and they go, a feather fall from the sky, it's a sign. No, it's not. Just as a bird flew over and a feather fell out. That's why they fall from the sky.
Exactly. And I felt that was nonsense as I went on in life. And then I think when they die, as we know from the Catholic Church, they're all resting in peace. None of them have gone anywhere until the final day, until our Lord comes again. So everybody is resting in peace at the moment, and nobody has gone to heaven or hell or wherever they're meant to go. So, you know, now I look, so we're all going to rest. So whenever this famous day is that our Lord appears again and he rises so many go to hell, you know.
Oh, you think there's going to be a day in particular where he's going to come back and that's the decider?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I said, because everybody's resting in peace. Nobody has left.
So the 120 billion people in civilization who have already died over time, there's about roughly 120 billion people. So they're all in the ground somewhere. You think
they're all still resting in peace.
They're all still resting in peace. Oh, okay.
Yeah, resting in peace until the final day, and then whoever goes to heaven. And then I'm very skeptical about that now as I've got older. Mm. And actually, you know, something makes me very nervous.
And when you're resting in peace, Nora, you know, I don't know whether you're going to be cremated or you're going to go into a coffin or whatever.
I would not be cremated. No.
Would you not? That's a bit final, is it? There's no coming back from that one, is there really? But okay, so when you go into your coffin, right? I'm sorry to be so bloody morbid about it, okay? Down you go into the ground. What happens? Does your brain just switch off? Is it just black? Nothing like? Are you thinking of things? Is it like dreaming?
You're dead, Niall. Your brain's just switched off already.
Yeah, anyway. But here's the thing, Frank. There's a difference between brain activity and consciousness.
Yes.
Some scientists reckon that consciousness is separate to brain activity. Now, brain activity, of course, brings back has your memories and all that, but consciousness itself could be separate.
The thing is, that, Niall, you know, as I said, nobody's actually, as I said, the only last time I heard anybody allegedly rose from the dead was Jesus.
Allegedly.
And that was over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? There hasn't anybody in living...
Well, we don't have any proof of that. It's in a book.
You know what I mean? But as in the last, say, 100 years, there's no one who has passed away...
And come back.
And literally and rose from the dead after 3 days.
No, never happened.
I'm not trying to be funny or disrespectful.
No, you're not being disrespectful. It's never happened. No.
I'm not. But the thing about it is, nobody has actually risen from the dead after 3 days in the last 100 years. So therefore, we're going by a book that was written over 2,000 years ago.
Okay, well, do me a favour. Stay there, both of you, because I want to go to David and Alan just after the break as well. Some of your texts coming in. I firmly believe there is a lot of these institutions have a lot to answer for. Was it just fear tactics so you would put your money and your last penny into the basket every Sunday? Yeah, some people kind of believe that too. Let me go to David first, if I can, then I'm going to go to Alan. David, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall, how are you?
I'm good, David.
I'll start with a saying, Niall, right? I'll start with a saying because I'm big into sayings. There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. Did you ever hear that saying?
Yes.
Yes, and you know the meaning of it, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. On your deathbed, you hedge your bets.
When,
yeah.
When you're crossing your deathbed now, you'll be wondering, is there anything on the other side? There'll be no fear. There won't be too many people being braved in. But yeah. I'm not saying, and another thing, there was a couple of mentions there of that there, people are religious because out of fear. Well, I'm a very strong belief in the faith, in our Lord, and whatever. Now, maybe I was indoctrinated as a young fella into believing all that. But to be honest, I see a verse here in front of me. I have it in silver. And I also have the statue in front of it. And it's called Footprints, Niall. You ever heard of it?
Yep. I have. Yeah. Well, I remember seeing it.
I firmly and utterly believe in that verse.
Okay, and but let's get back to the topic at hand, David. What happens when you pop your clogs?
Well, I firmly believe there's another side, right? Now, I'm not saying it's as they preach in the church that it's heaven and hell and there's all these thrones and all that crack. I believe it's a different dimension. Like you just mentioned there for a while about consciousness, in the sense of another dimension within this universe.
Okay, so is that heaven? Is that what you believe heaven is?
Yeah, I believe we go into a different dimension. And I remember you interviewed a man one time on your show, and he wrote a book called After. Now, I know you're an atheist, Niall, and I respect that. Read the book.
Mm.
And some fella said there, another man, I can't think of his name now, but he said, I've never met anyone that came back from the dead.
Neither have I.
Now, mentioned in the Bible, Jesus did and Lazarus did.
Yeah, but they're not real people now.
In the book, it's about people who died and came back.
They didn't die and come back. I know what you're talking about, and there are cases of people whose heart stopped and seemingly they had a near-death experience and they come back and talked about it. But there is nobody in this world ever, scientifically, who has been brain dead and come back. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, well a brain is electrical impulses.
Yeah, once your brain goes, your organs can all stop and fail right now. And if doctors are good enough, they can bring you back. Or sometimes just an anomaly and doctors can't figure it out, like people who suddenly go into remission from cancers and doctors can't figure it out. It's just an anomaly of life. Sometimes people just come back and their organs suddenly kick back in again. Their heart suddenly starts again.
Yeah,
absolutely. There has been cases of that. Absolutely. But that's not a miracle. That could be just an anomaly of science and nature. But if somebody is brain dead and pronounced brain dead, and there's no brain activity, they are not coming back to life. That has never happened.
I know. But at the end of the day, Niall, as a Roman Catholic, which I think 76% of people in the census put down they were Roman Catholics. Now they might be practicing Catholics. But don't get me wrong, I'm not at the front of the altar every Sunday. But I'm a bit like the Sinead O'Connor kind of Catholic. I have my belief between me and God.
There is a theory out there, by the way, about the resurrection and about Lazarus, that both were actually not dead. They were just in a coma.
What the Bible, Niall?
I'm only saying this, just people have a theory in relation to that, that if indeed the story of the Bible was, you know, created from factual information, that both were actually in a coma. In those days, they wouldn't have understood how to bring somebody out of a coma, but somebody could naturally come out of a coma.
Or they could,
after 3 days, yeah.
Didn't we consider a miracle, obviously, in that day and age, like?
So anyway, David, you believe in some sort of parallel universe or some sort of alternate universe.
Exactly. And
when you go into this alternate universe, so I don't know your age, David, let's just say you're 60. When you
57.
Go into this, okay, so let's say something happens to you tonight, and I hope it doesn't, Jesus, but let's say something happens to you tonight. Do you go into this alternate universe at 67, or do you go back to the alternate universe as a baby?
Well, I know, that's a quandary as well, but if you were to believe, I suppose you go back, I don't really.
Because then at some stage you have to die properly, then.
I don't exactly know what age I'll be. But I know one thing, Niall. I'm not afraid of this. Not trying to suicidal tendencies or anything, you know, or anything.
No.
But I'm not afraid of this, right? and I'm not. And if I drop dead tomorrow, God forbid, right? And if he takes me, he takes me. As much as I have regrets and I have whatever trials and tribulations in my life, I die a happy man.
Nora, just before I come to Alan, Nora, do you have a fear of death?
Nora, yeah, here. Do I have a fear of death? I do, actually. That's very truthful because I don't know what's going to be afterwards. But, you know, we all talk about the soul then. The soul separates from the body and that's what goes to heaven, you know? And then I often question myself, is my soul my heart, as my heart and my kindness was on this earth? You know, I question, and then I have been unkind. I have been unkind. So I question all of that. So that's why I'm nervous. But coming back to I was thinking as you were chatting there, you know, long ago, I remember family members passing away and the wake would be in the home. You'd be covering all the mirrors and you'd be doing all of this.
I remember that,
and all of that has subsided. And I wonder if it was so important about the soul and all of this, it has subsided with the Catholic Church. So it has diluted that belief and importance, in my opinion. And then I look at funerals, which I was at one recently. Of course, people, as I did myself with family members, I crave to believe there's an afterlife because I'm grieving my loved one in the coffin. So it gives you kind of solace, and it helps you with the grieving process. It helps you with the grieving process. But now as I've got older, do I believe it? Like, I was so much in belief of that as a child, as I was in my teenage years and my 30s. But now I question it so much. And I find it fearful. I'll be very honest. I don't go to church, but I have my own little belief. But as I've got older, I've got more skeptical.
I get you. Thank you for that, Nora. David, stay with me for a second. I want to come to Alan and then Steve as well. Alan, hi. How are you?
Hey, Niall.
Good. Alan, what do you believe happens when you die?
Well, I was a born again Christian for 8 years. And I got caught up in all the beliefs about the rapture and going up in the heavens and the Antichrist and who's the next and all this stuff. I went in it for 7 years in 1988 to 1996. And I was totally brainwashed. I was totally afraid. And then I end up with bipolar. And now my life consists of, when I lost my wife, I went into the greatest loneliness and sadness that I've ever gone through. Now I see life as... do you know what I see life as, Niall?
What do you see it as?
Do you know when you breathe onto glass or a mirror?
Yeah, I get you, yeah.
That's what life is. And then you go asleep and you have a dreamless sleep when you die. You just don't feel any pain and you go into a lovely sleep. And you have the longest sleep because you never wake up.
And it's pretty morbid, isn't it? It's pretty morbid.
I know, but life is morbid. And religion, in all its descriptions, tries to fill in the gaps of what they can't answer. They only speculate on faith that you'll go to heaven or hell. And it's a fear tactic. And in the earlier Jewish religion, going back 3,000 years ago, they didn't believe in heaven either. They didn't believe that you died and that was it. And what we need to do is separate what the famous saying was, religion is defined by when the fourth fool met the fourth con man. And the fourth fool met the fourth con man, and that's how religion gets a grip of people. They believe in the fairy tale. Like, it's Santa Claus for adults.
Don't mention his name. Don't mention the big fella's name. Golden rule of radio. Golden rule of radio. Anyway, go on.
So that's what God is, Niall. He's a fantasy, a mythical character. And science has more to offer when it comes to the majesty of the universe and the magicness of the universe. I listen to Christopher Hitchens and Niall,
Richard Dawkins.
And they've got more to give you majesty and amazement than the fairy tales of children.
I mean, when you talk about Christians going back, well, pagans, I suppose, going back 3,000, 5,000 years ago, whatever, they did believe in afterlife. Actually, more so than we do.
No, Niall.
Many of them believed in reincarnation as well.
Niall. In India, the oldest religion is Hinduism. It's over 6,000 years old. And then you've got the oldest monotheistic religion is Judaism. And they have they're more about practice of rituals. They don't believe in that. Most Jews don't believe in heaven or hell, Niall.
No, I didn't say they did, but many pagans of that time, including those who had the older traditions, they believed in some form of reincarnation.
Yeah, do you know the Druids, the Irish Druids, the ones who built Stonehenge and all these different monuments to the gods and to science and all these different aspects? They believed in a cyclical power, and to read the nature and the rhythms of the sky and the moon and the sun and all dating times and dates. And what we need to do is remember that heaven is hell for me. I would not like to be in heaven forever, praising God forever. That's like celestial.
Well, I mean, somebody's asked a genuine question here. What did the church teach about what happens next? I can't remember them ever telling us what to expect. Genuine question. And you are right.
Yeah.
It's just a very basic idea of going to this place in the sky with big gates and, fluffy clouds and angels flying around in white robes. That's the kind of... that's all we ever really were told. And all your relations who passed before you will all be there, which means it's a very busy place because there's 120 billion people have died.
I believe that when you lose a loved one, right? If I see someone who's just died and they're crying for their loved, their child or now, I would say things that are called spiritual anesthetic. And I say, you'll see him again. He's in heaven. You don't worry. He's watching you. That's called a human expression of compassion. I don't believe that you see anyone after you die. Once you die, you go.
Yeah, that's hope, isn't it? I mean, hope. People obviously miss their loved ones when they die. And there's a kind of hope there that they'll see them again. But realistically, if you're not a believer in God, that's complete nonsense. You're not going to see them again. It's just this kind of hope that people have. Stay there, Alan, for a second, David. I want to come to Steve, but I have to go to a quick break. So far, it's been a very respectful conversation, and then we introduce Steve into it. Steve, hi, how are you?
Do you know what? I was sitting here contemplating calling you a knob. I swear to God. I'm sitting here going, will I be rude and call him a knob? And I'm going to now call you a knob for that wonderful introduction, Niall. So I tell you what, you are a knob for one reason.
Okay, and tell me why I'm a knob this time.
You fall into the category of atheist. And atheists, a.k.a. you, come from a privileged, grandstanding, delusional position. That you guys think you know better than everybody else.
Well, no, I don't. Like no, me, I'm very respectful of other people's opinions.
Yes, yeah. So while people like me, an agnostic, I'm hedging my bets. I'm saying that I don't know it all, that maybe something else does exist out there.
So your theory is, what if I'm wrong? In other words, what if there is a God and I'm wrong?
What I'm saying is it's a 50-50 chance.
It's not really. It's not really a 50-50 chance.
It is a 50-50 chance. So let me ask you this.
Okay, is there a 50-50 chance that Thor exists?
That Thor exists?
Yeah.
Did you say Thor?
Yeah.
So as in like the
god? The god of Thor. Yeah, yeah. He was a god, mythological god.
No.
Is there a 50-50 chance he exists?
Okay,
I mean, I'm asking to be honest.
Okay. If you want to be, so God just with different names. Sure, absolutely. But there's only one. Or maybe just 10, maybe just 100, maybe just a million.
But I'm asking you to be honest. You're not being honest with me.
Yes, 50-50, yeah, sure.
Really? Yeah, there's a 50-50 chance that Thor exists.
Okay, yeah, I've answered that. Let me move on to my actual point instead of grilling me over this.
Okay, go on.
This is just my opinion.
Okay.
So when most atheists, when I speak to most atheists, I ask them, what proof do you actually want? A lot of them will give me a similar answer, which is a miracle. Which I find
That'd be good proof.
Okay, do you want a miracle, Niall? I can show you a miracle right now in this second.
Anyone show me a miracle.
I'll go to a mirror.
I don't have a mirror. Okay, I have a phone.
What looks back at you?
Okay, me.
Exactly, Niall. Now, you think of it this way, Niall.
I'm looking at myself here now. Jeez, I'm a handsome fella, am I?
I've got a face for radio. But look, whatever before the Big Bang, nothing existed. And we can't even contemplate what nothing looks like. So
yes, we can.
No, hang on.
I just want to address that. I'll let you continue, but I want to address that. You said we can't contemplate what nothing happens. What happened before you were born? When were you born? 40-something years ago, 46
exactly.
years?
I can't contemplate that.
No, there was nothing, because there was nothing before you were
exactly.
born.
Exactly. So that's my point. That is my exact point, Niall, if you open your ears. My point is, we can't contemplate what nothing is.
I can contemplate
so
nothing, it.
You can contemplate it, but you can't imagine what it actually is.
I can.
You never have an answer to
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, I can.
What is it? Is it black? Is it dark?
No, it's just nothing.
I have no memory
of before I was born. None.
Describe nothing. Go for it.
Nothing.
Come on, hold on.
You don't have to describe nothing. Nothing is just nothing.
Exactly. So nothing is something that we don't know. We just understand that it's nothing.
It'll be the same thing after you die, I imagine. Nothing.
Okay, let me get to my point.
Okay, go on.
Let me get to my point. You're such an argumentative prick, I swear to God, most points.
Come on, so, finish your point, Steve, for God's sake.
So, when there was nothing, Niall, and all of a sudden there was a big bang, the only thing that happened was that there was an infinitesimal amount of hydrogen atoms were spilled out across the universe.
Okay.
Now, but hold on a second. One went left and one went right. But if they hadn't have gone in that specific direction and all of the things that had to come to make your being, specifically you, Niall Boylan, all of the things that had to come together, Niall, is a miracle. It's an absolute miracle.
It's not a miracle. I would call it a coincidence, right? So, for example, let me just give you an example, right? So let's just say I decide to talk to you for an extra 2 or 3 minutes now. I'm going to move to Margaret in a second. But I decide to extend your time on the air. And I go a little bit late for news, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a minute and a half over, which I probably will be, right? Mm-hmm. And I get into my car to drive home and I have an accident and I'm killed, right? Yeah. Now,
preordained.
Yeah, if I didn't talk to you for the extra 2 minutes, I probably I would never have been in that accident, right? So,
what?
Well, the point I'm trying to make now, I've lost my train of thought. The point I'm trying to make is that's coincidence. When you talk about those two atoms, those two hydrogen atoms, it was just coincidence that it happened to happen that way.
Great, 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 going back a million years ago, grandfather was a bleeding fish. And before that, you were nothing but atoms. You are basically made up of stardust.
Absolutely. I'm well aware of that, yeah.
You're made up of stardust. And all of these things, only one thing had to go wrong. Now, that's why I'm saying a miracle. All of these things had to come together to make you. Why were you chosen for existence?
No. Those things didn't have to come together. You've got it the wrong way around. Those things came together and then evolution worked its way to creating a being that used those things. For example, the fact that we breathe oxygen. It could have been nitrogen, for example, and then we would have evolved to breed nitrogen instead. So in other words, it's not a coincidence that it happened to be oxygen. It's just a matter of evolution. So if the Earth had been filled with nitrogen, we would have evolved to breed nitrogen.
Okay, but hang on.
We're getting into evolution now, and that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about what's happened after you die. Stay there, Steve. Margaret, hi.
Okay.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Very interesting conversation, Margaret, but go on.
Yeah.
What do you think happens when you pop your clogs?
Well, I had a mild heart attack at 33, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Three weeks before my 33rd birthday.
Okay.
I had a mild heart attack, and I had an out-of-body experience, right?
Yeah.
And lucky enough, I walked in a hospital, and I was on the bed, and...
Did you have the heart attack while you were in hospital, while you were working, like...
Where I was working, yeah.
Jeez, that was handy, wasn't it? I mean that in the nicest possible way, like, but it was handy that you had it there.
It was very handy. But my spirit left my body. So your spirit leaves your body when you die.
But you didn't die, Margaret.
No, but that's what happens.
You know, I'm not trying to just disagree with you for the sake of it. Yes, you had a heart attack. Yes, your heart stopped.
Yeah.
But your brain was still alive, so you didn't die.
Well, you see, my spirit left my body and they were walking on me, okay?
Mm.
And I went up, okay? And I was looking down at them and I heard in the background this person saying, and I'm convinced it was my mother, saying to God, please let her go back. She has three young children. I had a 2-year-old, I had a 6-year-old, and nearly 8 at that stage.
Mm. And you know what? That's a lovely experience for you.
Yeah.
But you do know scientifically that's an impossibility because you didn't die. You were actually alive. And scientists, I'm only telling you what a scientist would say.
Yeah.
That you could consciously hear people talking in the background.
Niall, science can get things wrong.
Oh, I know.
Niall.
I know.
Nothing's perfect in this world. Yeah. None of us are perfect. And it's all about you living a good life. There is one God and one God for all religions, regardless.
Not what all religions believe.
Well, they, you know, and you see, this is where all the rows and the fighting.
Yeah, but that's good. But you made a statement that's not true. There isn't one God for all religions. Most religions have different gods.
And it's how people interpret.
They have different gods. They all have different gods. Most religions have different gods. They believe in, like, you know, Buddhists don't believe in the same God you believe in.
So argumentative, I swear to God.
Oh, Jesus. Very quickly before I go to John. Alan, Margaret thinks she had an out-of-body experience. Do you believe that people can have out-of-body experiences?
Well, I look at Margaret and I wouldn't disagree that she had what they call an epiphany moment.
Yes, yes.
And in the emotion of, like, as an atheist, and it's taken me a long time to come out and claim to be atheist, that's after years of suffering and pain and rejection and loss. And I came to the conclusion that when we all have personal experiences, like what Margaret had, they're sacred moments to her. And that is in itself an epiphany where she had a new lease on life. And I call that a blessing. And I wouldn't disagree with her. I think she's a lovely woman.
No, I'm not disregarding what Margaret says.
But to me, life is painful and life has a lot of questions.
Okay, we kind of got off the subject a little bit. I have about 2 minutes, Margaret. I want to go to John. Margaret, so what happens? You still didn't tell me what happens when you eventually pop.
Well, when you're passing away, Niall, okay, you know, whoever. Not making it personal, God forbid, and all harm. You know, I don't want you to go anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere. Steve, that's okay.
But at the end of the day, you know, this world that we're living in at the moment, to me, it's purgatory. Because, you know, with all that's going on, and with all the murdering, and the fighting, and the tinkering, as I say, that's going on, and you know.
Okay, so the point you're making is you go from this world to heaven.
A better world that we're all going to.
Okay. Let me go to John quickly. Sorry, John. Hi.
Evening, Niall. How are you?
Hey.
I don't believe in God. I don't. I believe we're just like. This is my own opinion. We're just like we're just like any other animals. We just developed our brains. We're freaks of nature. Our brains are way overdeveloped, and that thousands of years ago that our brains, that we just started talking, telling one of the stories, that religion was just something in our heads, that our brain is just a lump of meat in our head, and they've just developed
a bit more complicated than that, but go on.
They've
overdeveloped. Everything we think is it's inside our heads if we're depressed or whatever. But I don't believe in I believe that well, when we die, our bodies deteriorate. I worked in a morgue. I see.
Okay, we don't need to know all that. Well, that part of it. Okay, that's a bit depressing. Anyway, so what happens, John? Do you just that's it? It just lights off. Bye bye.
Yeah, I think so. No, I don't.
Jesus.
We all hope. We all live in the hope. I live in hope that I end up in a marquee club with a major in one finger and gin and tonic in the other, and at least there's a Tin Lizzy. That's what I hope. But I don't really believe that. I think we're just like...
We are very pessimistic, yeah.
I worked in a morgue. Jesus. look, I have to go, lads. I've run out of time. Alan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And I said to John, Jesus Christ, you're such a morbid old shite. I worked in a morgue. Jesus.
But you know, Niall, I laid out loads of people, and it's an absolute privilege to do.
Yeah.
It.
Sorry, Alan.
It is.
Sorry, Alan. What did you say? Alan, what did you say?
I leave you with this one thing, Niall.
Yeah, go on.
Once you die, it's over, and the dreams of everlasting peace comes on you, and you never wake up from death.
Okay, that's a pretty morbid thought as well, isn't it? By the way, Martin says, he's giving out to me here, he says, where is it? And Niall, the atmosphere is 78%, nitrogen oxygen is about 20%, so with respect, I disagree, your argument is not correct. Martin, you're taking it literally what I said. Okay, let's say, for example, at the time of evolution, the atmosphere was 100% nitrogen. But the point I was trying to make to Steve was, it's not a coincidence that these things come together, it's evolution. So in other words, we would have evolved to breed nitrogen if that was all that was available, because life wanted to sustain itself. That's all I'm saying. Now, I know, Martin, you don't believe in that because you're a Christian, and I get that too, and I respect your view, which is very different because your view comes from Adam and Eve. That's fine too. But just my view of it is, if we did evolve, we evolved not through coincidence, but through evolution. And evolution is not based on coincidence.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.